keep the street preaching in prayer, because you don't know if they're doing it right unless you're out there with them and encouraging them, holding the sign. Like Brother Eric said, they've got a bigger sign now, and they need two people at least to hold that thing. And you don't have to preach. Miss Nunn's not here tonight. She's not like 400. She's like 80 years old, 70 years old, 6 years old. Miss Nunn is old. And Miss Nunn is out there all the time. And Miss Nunn has little, her arms are almost smaller than Carl's, and no one's ever broken one of her arms out there. Miss Nunn survives every time she goes out there. She doesn't get shot, stabbed. Miss Nunn's not afraid to do it. I don't know. But so pray about it, and don't use me as an excuse, because mostly it's adults in here. Don't use me as an excuse not to do right. That's stupid and childish. You read in your Bible, you know the Lord, the relationship between you and the Lord, you should be doing something for the Lord. So there's so many different things at this church. There's nursing homes. I know Brother Ron just had it Monday night. Sundays, Squeak and Brother Mike and Brother Dave and other people doing nursing homes. There's so many things to do. But it seems like we all want to be a part of the social unit just Sunday morning, just Sunday night, sometimes, and sometimes Wednesday night. But when it actually comes to putting our feet to the fire and doing something, we don't want to do it. I don't know if it's a choir thing, we might show up. We'll be late, we might show up. If it's a youth event, we might volunteer to help. But when it actually comes to seeing souls saved and doing something, it's like if Pastor Ryman never handed out a tract and witnessed anybody, I wouldn't be here in this church. But Pastor Ryman backs up what he says. He does it. He's not like one of those evangelists or missionaries. And there's not a lot of them, but there are some that are useless, that don't witness and don't do things. Pastor Ryman's out there because he believes it. And it's real. And I know you're scared, and we all make mistakes. We don't want to do everything. We don't have time for everything. But we got to pray about fitting time in for something to encourage the people. If not, at least call them up or go and talk to them and say, look, I'm not coming Thursday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday. I'm not coming to this thing, but I commit that I'm going to turn the TV off for 5 minutes and pray for you. And hopefully when you do that, you'll get a conviction that maybe you can do a little more. Because as American Christians, we don't sacrifice. We don't suffer at all. We think we do. I know when I run out of Nesquik, I'm like stressed out, like my life is so hard. And then I have to think, things aren't that bad, amen. So milk's $1.97 at the Walmart sometimes, amen. But there's a lot of ministries here. We've got a lot of things coming up this summer. And getting involved in VBS is awesome. We need all the help we can get with the different Middler's Camp and teen camps and the trips, all that stuff. We need all that stuff. And we need workers to encourage those people. But, you know, none of that means anything if you're not talking to people in the grocery store, in the supermarket at your work, if you're not handing a tract out, if you're not inviting your neighbor to church or doing something, just take small steps. You'd be surprised how easy it is once you open your mouth. I've been terrified. I started talking, and the 5'2" lady didn't cuss at me or yell at me or hit me. She wasn't as bad as I thought. I pictured this evil monster, and I started talking to her. It's your flesh. Just fight it. So I challenge you to go out and do something just so you can rub it in my face and tell me to shut up next time. Amen? But no one ever gave me a track till my sister gave me a track. I go around Smyrna and the surrounding area, different places, and I've given people tracks and talked to them. Oh, that's my church. I go there. What's the pastor's name? I know his daughter. I know his son. Or I rode this bus. I'm thinking, I've been going here for like ever. I haven't never seen you here. But they claim this is their church. They say they're saved. But how many people out there have never been given a track? I was never given a track. Now I found out all these people I talk to, they say they're saved and they're Christians. After I got saved, people told me they were saved. I'm like, you never told me. Was it real? And I know your flesh, you're ashamed of the way you live and you're not doing right. But try to get that clean as best you can with the Lord, not by yourself, and still go out and witness, though. It'll strengthen you. The more you do for the Lord, the stronger you're going to get. So I'm going to jump right into this. We're going to start in Matthew 18. So there's a couple guys in here I've talked to this about, but Brother Soccer brought this up Wednesday night. And I like to sit there, and I have my lazy right eye, so I kind of turn, and with my left eye is my dominant eye, and I can see better with the preacher, but I can also see everything else. And some of the people's reaction with Brother Soccer, of course, usually it's not good with Brother Soccer's up here, but he made a comment about what to do if a brother or sister's not doing right. And in my head, I pictured, put it on Facebook, someone raising their hand. Or talk about it in the nursery, because those 2 and 3-year-olds, they never repeat nothing when they get in Brother Ken's class. Or I thought, no, we're just going to not talk to the person at church and hate them. And what did Brother Stocker say? He gave the four steps that the Bible says we're supposed to do with someone who's not doing right and how we're supposed to deal with it. So could you imagine a diver, a Navy diver, not knowing how to swim? Is that not crazy? Or a race car driver not knowing how to drive a car? Can you imagine a Christian not reading their Bible? It makes no sense. I know we're busy. I know we're busy. But everyone in here has told me your Facebook account makes you righteous and you can read your Bible on it. You've told me your cell phone makes you righteous because you can read your Bible on it. You tell me that your Twitter account, you get Bible verse. You tell me you're getting so much Bible. So I wonder if maybe now you've got so much Bible in your head, we just need to put it in our heart and start applying it. Because if you got all this Bible, see, I feel like I have no Bible. I feel like I know nothing. I'm an idiot. I'm trying to learn stuff. And I mess up all the time, amen. But it comes to a point where I know for some of you, you've already tuned me out and turned me off, and that's fine. I'm married. I feel no pain. I have no fear, amen. But it comes to a point where as an adult, you have to make that decision. All right, Lord, I'm serious. The problem is most of us have made the decision, yeah, Lord, when I get caught, my worldly sorrow will kick in, and I'll feel bad because I've been caught, but I really don't give a blank what you think right now because I know better. I mean, I don't ask you to get involved in anything else, so why am I going to get you involved in anything? And it blows my mind because when I got saved, that was a humbling experience for me. Coming from a Catholic, banking, confident family, we have a lot of pride. And having to admit that I needed someone's help, it's still hard for me to admit I need people's help. But having to admit I needed God's help was a big thing. So you kind of have to get broken to get fixed. And I wonder sometimes, we were talking about it to somebody earlier, some of you really aren't fixed because I don't think you ever thought you were broken. And I got a bunch of stuff I was going to go into, but I feel like the Lord wants me to go over this and not what I want to go over. I'm going to go over something that Brother Stocker talked about. So we're going to start in Matthew 18. We're going to read a little bit here. And this is what the Bible says. Now, this isn't what Ellen the Degenerate says. This isn't what Dr. Fake or Phil says, okay, or Oprah says. This is Bible. I can't stand them either. You know, if my wife were to be crazy and want to watch a Hallmark, commercial or movie, whatever they're called, at least I would know we're watching that. But you turn on these stupid shows, and that's all they are. It's all humanism. It's all feel-good fake. It's not real. They go home and they beat their spouses. They're sodomites and queers, and they rob people, and they get drunk, and they go out, and they're foul-mouthed. But then they get on the show, and they smile and tell you how you're going to live your life. And you're stupid enough to listen to them. Man. Look, I'm just looking at the Bible. We need to look at it more, amen. So let's go ahead and get into this. Matthew 18, we're going to start in verse 15. So let's pray. Lord, I love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for being so good to me, God. And forgive me, Lord, if I'm sounding frustrated, God. I have so many things in my life I want to get clean, God, and I'm flesh, Lord, and I know I need to just look at you, God, but I can't help but see others. And help us all, Lord, be of one accord, Lord, one mind, Lord. Help us have a desire, Lord. Help us to be sincere Christians, God, and not worldly Christians, God. I know there's going to be a falling away, Lord. I know the Bible talks about apostasy and the Laodicean self-righteous age, Lord. I know there's going to be Christians that are saved. They're going to fall away and fall into sin, God. But please, God, don't let it be my church. God, I love my church. I love my pastor. I love the people here, God. Please help us to be stronger, Lord. If we're not sure or unsure, Lord, help us not to go to people that aren't living right and doing right, God, and just go to our pastor, Lord. Please, God, just protect my church, Lord. Be with these verses, Lord, from your word, God. Please help people to apply them in their own lives, God, and just think, Lord, and just want to do right. Again, I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Matthew 18, we're going to start in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, here am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? And I try to skip this when I'm reading, but I always have to read it. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which should take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for so much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord, and all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou deridest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but you need to read your Bible. And Brother Soccer even mentioned this as well, which I think the Lord laid it on my heart to make sure we don't just have Brother Soccer saying it real quick and not giving a bunch of verses to back it up. God does hate some things, and he expects us to hate. I know there's different types of hate, but there's an attitude in our churches where it's love the sinner, hate the sin. You have to be really careful with that, because the problem is a lot of us are becoming enablers. We're enabling people to sin. And you're going to stand before a just and holy God and have to give account of your actions. And I think I've used the analogy before about spinach in your teeth. I would hope if you're going to a big interview or going to the store or somewhere where it might bother you if you had a hunk of spinach or broccoli or whatever it is in your teeth or on your face, somebody would say, Jaylen, you got this here. Go clean it up. And Jaylen would most probably just say, I don't care and ignore it, but maybe she'd go clean it up. But she wouldn't get upset because she knows you're doing it because you're looking out for her. The problem with a lot of Christians are, hey, brother, hey, sister, you got this sin in your life. How dare you tell me what's right or wrong? Dr. Phil says whatever makes me feel good. Ellen the Degenerate says if it makes me smile, then it's okay. You know how crazy that sounds? We don't care what a holy God says. You know, my friend that I sit in with church that we don't pay attention, we talk the whole time, we don't even care about church, we're fake, but they tell me it's okay, so it must be okay. What does the Bible say? Well, pastors never show up at my house and kick down the door and punched me in the face and told me not to do it. He does want to, I think, probably. Maybe you should invite him over and ask him what he thinks. Because he's always said he's going to be a pastor that doesn't just show up at your house to peek through your windows. Because he's assuming you're going to have the same relationship with the Lord that he has. A relationship of wanting to get closer and be real. The lifestyle pastor came from, the way he was raised, his culture he came from, salvation was something real to him. It wasn't a game. He turned away. Talks about becoming a new creature. Brother Buddy talked about that. A lot of people aren't new creatures. They're still the same. You say you're saved. But so here in verse 15, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Let's go over to Proverbs 26. Now, I'm not saying all this stuff is easy. It's definitely a lot easier living like a Christian than it is living like the world. But if you're a Christian who watches the world's commercials and hears the world's music and watches some of the world's movies, you're going to have some of the world's thoughts in your head. And that spirit is going to make things a lot harder than they should be. Because the song tells me that it feels good. The song tells me it's okay. And you have that in you more than the Bible, because that's what you're putting in there. You're feeding the wrong dog, amen? So, let's see, I said Proverbs 26, I'm sorry. I'm in 27. Proverbs 26, let's start in verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And where there is no talebearer, well, that's a good one there. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. So like a piece of pottery that's been covered over with silver, like a knife cutting you up. So the Bible doesn't talk well about people talking about someone the wrong way. So Brother Squeak, I think, is Eagles fan. And Pastor likes the Redskins. Now, anybody with half a brain would know it wouldn't be appropriate for Pastor to go to Squeak and sit down and say, the Bible says I have to talk to you because of this fault. You're an Eagles fan, I'm a Redskins fan. We're going to church you if you don't get this right. You got to clean up your act, brother. The problem is we don't always use common sense. It's not talking about that. Brother Squeak liking the Eagles and Pastor liking the Redskins shouldn't affect anybody in the church. It's not a false doctrine. There might be false teams or bad teams at times, but it's not a doctrine. It's just entertainment or sport or something stupid. You know what I mean? I just saw on the internet, some guy's going to get a guaranteed contract of 80-some million for 3 years. That is ridiculous, amen? But you guys are going to keep paying for that sports channel to watch it and keep encouraging it and, you know, giving all those Budweiser commercials their royalties because you're watching it, and the cheerleaders dancing naked their royalties, and the filthy commercials the royalties because you're watching it. But it's crazy, though. So there's certain things, we'll get into that in a little bit if we have time, about what to go to someone about. But if you're unsure, and if it really, really bothers you that Squeak likes the Eagles and you don't, sit down with him alone, talk to him about it. Get past someone else to sit there. And hopefully the other people will say, hey, you know, it's cool that you got off your chest that you think the Eagles stink, but it's not a big deal. Because sometimes we work things up so much because we're flesh, and we get angry at life, we get angry at the chickens, we get angry at our family, we get angry at everything, that pops in our mind, and we get bitter and angry that Squeak likes the Eagles and doesn't like the Redskins. And when we take a minute to actually talk about it and work it out, you find out, hey, you got really no Bible to be upset over that. It's just entertainment. Now, if Squeak were to start missing church and painting himself green or silver and all that kind of stuff and being out there half naked screaming for the team, that'd be weird. Amen? But the cool thing is, if you talk to Squeak and get off your chest, He's probably going to be mad at you and hate you for 2 seconds, and he's going to forget because he's getting old. He doesn't remember all that stuff, amen? So he's going to be laid back, and next service you're going to be his best friend. He won't be mad at you, and you'll feel better, and you'll sleep good. But you get it off your chest, and you're done. But you do it the right way. You talk to him about it. You don't come over here and talk to Cody, whose team lost. And you don't talk to Cody and give Cody a hard time to get Cody on your bandwagon to jump on Squeak. Because now you're causing division in the church. So you've got to use some wisdom. Amen? So the Bible there tells us in Matthew to go ahead and tell them their fault. And what does it say is going to happen if they hear you? That was gained a brother. You know how great it is if you've got an issue with somebody and you get it clean and it's good and done and the fellowship can be restored? Because no matter what you think or how you feel, Jesus Christ says we're all part of the body if you're saved. We're going to live together forever. Brother Eric was just telling my daughter they're going to live together forever in heaven. He's asking for a mansion right next door. And I think she cried herself to sleep that night. We're going to have to learn to live with each other. We're going to see each other in heaven all the time. We're a church family. We should be able to get together and say things of the world are wicked. They're wrong. We're against them. We're praying for things to work out right. Problem is a lot of times we can't. Because this zombie movie makes me feel this way. This Hallmark movie that I've watched 15 times with filthy language makes me feel this way. And we're getting our thoughts from things of the world, not from the Lord. We're not discerning things. And I understand there can be a critical spirit, but the Bible tells us to discern. We have to discern sometimes. And if Brother Eric Tweed left the Tweed household and roofs were a problem for him, he never wanted to see another roof, out of respect, I wouldn't call him up, hey, can you come work on my roof for me? Even though I think he can handle it, he can do it, but I don't want to be a stumbling block to Brother Eric because he grew up with all that crazy stuff. If someone comes to you and talks to you about something, and maybe it's not an open sin or anything crazy, but if it's something small, if it's truly small to you, no, I don't need to eat pork in front of you. I don't care, brother. You come to my house, we'll just have fish or chicken. That's even better. Amen. The problem is, as Christians, we want everyone to bend for us, but we don't want to bend for anybody. So we don't look at it the right way. You're going to spend forever with everybody in this room. We can't even get along now. I don't understand it. So let's look back in Matthew. I got to speed this up. So let's look back in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, I'm going to look at verse 16. So it really bothers me about Jaylen having the food in her teeth and on her face, and she's getting ready to go for this interview, and she's not listening to me when I talk to her about it. So I'm going to go to Brother Joe and Sister April. So guys, I want you to come and sit down with me while I talk to Jaylen. And I'm going to tell Jaylen, especially with all that new money in her mouth, she better brush her teeth. So I'm going to tell Brother Joe and Sister April that I brought this up to Jaylen. She got angry with me, and I didn't mean to do it out of bad spirit. I'm sorry I didn't smile enough or give her the right hug or any of that crazy stuff. But this thing's bothering me. Can you help me with it? And then by having them there, they're witnesses, but they also can say, hey, brother, we already took care of that. She took care of it, and it wasn't that. It was a horrible scar she got because her brother hit her. And it's not, or something crazy. But now, see, it's funny how the Lord works it out where you can correct things. Both parties, everybody can get on the right page to make sure, and I'm using something silly because the things the Bible goes into, I'll get in trouble if I talk about. Maybe we'll hit that if we have time. But you should really read 1 and 2 Corinthians because you would not be fellowshipping and hanging out with people because the Bible says fornicators and adulterers, certain people, you're not supposed to fellowship with. You can witness to them, you can pray for them, but condoning their sin and having them over, that's not right. It might be hard, but that's the problem. Back in the old days when people believed the Bible, they were hard and it got people to do right because they wanted to be a part of the family and the unit, not of the world. So when they were ostracized that, hey, look, if we're going to cuss and do this and walk this way and sleep this way and act this way and drink this and do this and do this and do this, we can't be a part of the family. They either going to go out to the world where they're already at anyway, so they're not going to we shouldn't be upset. They're already there. They're just pulling less people out if they're out of the doors, or they're going to want to stay in the doors and get it right. But that's Bible. But see, the problem is you and Ellen DeGeneres and Dr. Phil Happy know more than God does. Because it makes you feel good, because you got a participation trophy in elementary school. Everything makes us feel good. It's crazy how the devil works. He knows what he's doing. So here in verse 16, I just talked about that. We'll hit a quick verse for that. Let's go to Luke 17. I'm trying to have a little bit of fun with it. I don't know if it's working, just so you all don't go to sleep, but it's the Bible. And I would encourage you to ask Brother Derek for a copy or go online and study your Bible, and all the things I'm doing wrong, correct me. Because if I'm wrong on something, I want to be corrected. But if you study it out and you see I'm right on some things, now you have no reason not to do some things differently unless you just don't care. So Luke 17, we'll start in verse 1. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. They were real men. They worked on the water. They were hard guys, construction type guys. Chicken farmer type guys. But they were tough guys. They were around a lot of other tough guys. So they knew how flesh was. So how do they finish that? Increase our faith. God, because this guy I work with, I know he's going to mess up. I know in sincerity he's going to ask me to forgive him. And I have to. But I know he's going to mess up again. God doesn't care. He says, forgive him. Now, I'm not saying the problem we have now is someone's in sin. They haven't repented. They haven't changed, and we want to forgive them. Come live with me, come eat with me, come party with me, come to the store with me, come all the time and hang out with me, come all the time with me and do this with me, and do this and do this and do this. That's not what the Bible says. They have to repent first. People don't like that because they have to admit they're wrong. So let's go here and let's look back in Matthew. So the third thing is in the first part of Matthew 17, Matthew 18, verse 17. So you've gotten them one-on-one, you've gotten them with two or three others. The third thing, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now this is where we run into a problem today. We have to remember when this was written, you didn't tell it to the church through Facebook or texting. That's not how you tell it to the church. So, Brother Jesse can tell you, I love him, he loves me. We sometimes disagree on different silly subjects, and we talk about it. Sometimes we get heated, and we punch our dashboard, and yell at each other, and arm wrestle, and we're still friends. We still love each other. So, there was a time a while ago, Brother Jesse and I had a disagreement on something, and a few people overheard, and they didn't know the sides, and they heard things, whatever, and it's your flesh. You always pick sides, Eagles or Redskins. That's just how flesh is. I had so many crazy things come back to me. People call me. So-and-so told so-and-so, told so-and-so, you're leaving church. So-and-so told so-and-so, told so-and-so, you're mad at this person. So-and-so told, in my flesh, and being a banker or ex-banker, I wanted to call every single person whose name was dropped just to talk to them, to give them the facts. But that's not the right thing to do. I just let it go. It was between me and Brother Jesse and the Lord. And we got it worked out. We're okay with it. We'll probably have 15 more this week. That's just how we are. That's right. But the thing is, as a church, if Brother Jesse or I had offended somebody, why didn't they come to us personally? Or both of us say, can you both sit down? I'd like to talk to both of you. you know, Brother Ken, I don't like you a whole lot. Brother Jesse, I love you, but this is bothering me. I'll tell you, I'll get over it. But just get it off your chest. I'd rather you talk to me than have one of my junior church kids ask for prayer requests. Because you don't realize what the kids hear. And you maybe it's not the kids in my class, their family or friends, but it's their friend's family or their friend's family's friends. Because little kids talk. They get bored sometimes, and they want to be like their parents and their sisters and brothers and everyone else. So they tell other kids things they hear. And then those kids tell other kids. And you have some kid in junior church who doesn't know the whole story. They're just trying to do right. But they're like, Brother Ken, I got to pray for you. This happened here. And you said this to this person. I'm like, well, no, buddy, I didn't say that. We were just fooling around and play fighting like you guys do. Oh, okay. And they were fine with it. But it makes you think, where do these kids get this stuff from? Because they have ears. And the kids use the ears more a lot of times, except maybe in front of their own parents, but with other people, than their mouth. The problem is the adults are using their mouth more than their brain or their heart or their eyes and looking at the Bible to see what to do. So the third thing there, it says if they neglect to hear, tell it to the church. So what that is you go to preacher, hey, preacher, this person is living filthy, openly in sin. They want to teach our kids. That's filthy and wicked. The last verse we just read in Luke, it's better a millstone be hung around their neck before they hurt one of these little ones. Everyone wants to go to perversion right away. Perversion starts somewhere. It's not always sexual. You know how many kids get messed up? I got to watch my language. I'm trying. You know how many kids get messed up because people in church change? And I meant to ask Michael Shane this, and I forgot, but I'm going to throw him under the bus anyway. So I'll get it right with him. Michael Shane mentioned to me when he got back from Bible school that some of the ladies in the church, the dress code had changed. And it kind of caught him off guard. People dressed more conservative. Maybe it was dresses, or maybe the dresses were longer, or the skirts were longer, or they weren't as tight. But he said things had changed, and it was sad. It is sad, because if your dress is in a gray area, then the kids looking up to you are going to go one step further. So if you love the kids and love the church and love the Lord, well, I'm not going to sacrifice my dress. I am not giving up my Daisy Dukes. That's what people are going to say. Now, first of all, if I see any of you guys playing basketball in Daisy Dukes, I will talk to you privately first. But maybe not. Maybe I'll have two or three witnesses just to be safe. But that's just kind of weird. And if you think I'm too hard on that, you can look at Exodus 28:42 later, because you can learn the definition of what the Bible says nakedness is. You watch so much TV, and you watch the cheerleaders and the sports and the movie stars with all the wardrobe malfunctions and all this crazy stuff that you think naked is someone's got to be wearing nothing. That's not Bible. Do you know your Bible says if you show your thigh, that's nakedness? That when Peter and them were fishing on the boat and they were just in like a loincloth fishing because it was hot and they were working and they saw the Lord, they knew they were naked and they had to throw their coat on to jump in. Read it in John 21. So it's crazy. Now, that's just one thing that popped into mind, but there's so many crazy little things. Music. I've had Christians, well, they say they're Christians, pull up next to me on Route 8, and the car is bouncing. And you can call it a contemporary song. You can say they say Jesus three times. I remember when I used to listen to Metallica, Motley Crue, they said Jesus too quite a few times. They didn't make it a Christian song, though. And I look over at them. And some of them have a look of shame, which I'm like, thank God, amen, there's hope. Hopefully it's not worldly, hopefully it's truly godly repentance. But some of them just like, yeah, I don't care. How sad is that? I know they're not doing right. You can struggle with things, but to be that open about it, they don't care. Their conscience has been seared to it. So let's look at the last thing here, the end of 17. Matthew 18, verse 17. So we read, and it shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Let him go. Don't waste any more time with him until he gets right. Don't take him free stuff. Don't text him every day you're praying for him. Let him go. Cut him off. Because I tell you one thing. If you have a parent who loves you and you get cut off from that parent, you're willing to do anything you can to get back to them. because you want that connection back. The problem is, in here, we want to be the God. We want them to have the connection with us. We don't care about the Lord. So who was Jesus the hardest to? Was Jesus the hardest to the woman that was caught in adultery? Or was he the hardest to the church people, the Pharisees? He was hardest to the church people. Why was that? Because he knew. He knew they were more worried about the outside. Showing up for a service or two, saying they like church when they're in church, but living like hell at work, at home, and everywhere else in between and not caring. And that's sad. I know the church is going to fall. The Bible says it's going to. It says apostasy is going to happen. People are slowly stepping away. Brother Jack or Brother Joe or someone have talked about somebody, glasses or contacts. That people could go too far in crazy things, making up crazy standards. That's crazy. But if I were to tell a lady or a guy, hey, you shouldn't dress that way because it's so tight, it shows everything, and there's guys and girls that have been struggling with things, and you're just one more thing for them to look at. Well, they shouldn't be looking at me. No, they shouldn't, but they're flesh, and you walk by them, they can't close their eyes. They'll bump into other people in church. So just to help them, hey, you shouldn't be talking that way because there's other people in church, and I know you're just joking, saying, oh my gosh, or what the heck? You know, you're not cussing. You're just almost there. You're just joking. Or freaking this. It's close. Dang. Oh, it's close. It's not cussing, though. But someone else who's struggling with it, and they hear that, it's almost the same thing. It's the same spirit for sure. So just as a brother or sister in Christ, could you, for their sake, you're spiritual, you're good, you don't have to, it doesn't matter, you can do it if you want, but for them, could you try not to do it? Do you truly love them enough to try for them? That's where it comes down to. Maybe it's okay for you, but if it's not okay for them, could you try for them? The Bible talks about not offending the weaker brother. So I'm just saying, if you got all your chicken ducks eggs in a row and know how to live life and do everything, can't you just bend for others sometimes and help them and encourage them? Because if you really know what you're doing, you shouldn't have any problem doing that. I know pride's tough. We deal with it every day, man. So let's look at Titus real quick. I'll end up here. Two more verses and then I'm done. We'll look in Titus chapter 2. The sin in the world is filthy and politics and all that. So there's so many horrible things going on out there. But we need to focus on the church first. Get the church right and then the things of the world we can work on. If we can't even get the church right, we're not going to get anything in the world right. The stupid 17-minute walkout. Most of these kids can't even spell the word second or amendment. They can't even vote. They have no idea. Most of them don't even have a driver's license. And if they do, they barely got it. And they're not going to graduate unless their teacher pushes them through school. And they think they have a voice in my country? No. When you're 18. But hey, stupid, if they change the law to own a gun to 21, 26, 35, 104, whatever, they may change the age to vote too. So then you will never get a voice. It's a shame we don't read our Constitution anymore, but it's like the Bible. It's something we just throw to the side and forget about. Bible is way above the Constitution, though, amen. I better clarify that so I don't get in trouble. So Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus, and remember, if you want to take Brother John to the side later, one or two people, and tell him that he called me to come up here. So Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, let's read that one again, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, Brother Blunkall even talked about that. But he says it prettier than I do, and he sings it prettier, and he smiles better. So pretend Brother Blancall just read that because he said the same stuff, guys. It's Bible. Okay? Looking for, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Back up to 1 Timothy. So right before the crucifixion, how did they know Peter was with Jesus. The people around the palace there. How do they know Peter was with Jesus? Anyone remember how they knew? His speech betrayeth him. So then he had to force a cuss word out just to try to get him off his trail. There was something different about him. There was something different about him because he had been with Jesus. So there should be something different about us. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. It's definitely something to think about. And I lied because there's one more verse. Leviticus 19. We'll go there, and then I'll be done for real. Leviticus 19, verse 17. Now, your brothers and sisters are saved. We have to love our brothers and sisters. We should like them, too. Look at verse 17, Leviticus 19. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Not suffer sin. Talking about the last verse we read, talking about not being a partaker of sin. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, God, for being so good to me, Lord. I know this church is a family, God. I know that's good and bad, Lord. Please, I ask you not to accept our family's sins because they're our family. And help them. Please don't just allow us to accept them and think it's okay because we love them. Help us to be honest with them, God, and tell them they need to get some things right. God, we're just playing a game, and we don't want to hurt them. They're our kid. They're our parent. They're our neighbor. They're like a brother to us. They're like a sister to us. They're our best friend at church. God, if we shut our mouth and we keep ignoring it and they think it's okay, it's just going to bring division in the church, God. It's going to hurt the kids. Things are going to keep getting worse, God. Please, Lord, ask you to be with our church, God. Please protect it, Lord. Help us all to have a desire to do right, Lord. We don't need to go around and be Pharisees or be police and correcting everybody on anything, God. We need to definitely judge ourselves first, God, and judge our own home and things we allow or don't allow. And just pray, God, and want to start doing right and have a desire to do right. The Bible talks about being clean and holy. I know it says a lot of stuff, God, but why don't we focus on being clean and being holy? And when we're angry, being clean and being holy. And when we're mad, being clean and being holy. And when we're sick, being clean and being holy. God, please, just nobody in this room, God, I don't think, thinks they're perfect. No one thinks they've gotten where they need to go, Lord, not until we get to heaven. Please help us as a church, God. If there's people in here, Lord, that believe Joel Osteen's a real preacher or Rick Warren, any of these guys are worth it or salt, God, please help them to read their Bible and realize that feel-good humanism stuff isn't real. God, we can feel good by knowing the truth, God, but we have to realize our state. We have to know how we stand with you, Lord. Please, God, be with my church. Protect them, Lord. Please, with the prayers we're about to take, God, help them to be sincere and real, God. Help our church to pray for them throughout the week, Lord, and just pray for each other, God. I know if someone in my family is ill or hurt, God, I'd want people praying all the time, not just for a few seconds, Lord, on a Wednesday night, God. Please help us as a church, Lord, get closer to each other. Help us to not just talk the talk, God, but walk the walk. Help us to be a peculiar people, God, as your word says. Help us to love each other and do right. Help us to keep you at the forefront, God. Please, God, be with our pastor and Miss Linda and the Stockers. Amen.